So, how many of you guys are fans of the movie genre, Westerns? Anybody Westerns fans? Somebody, a couple of you guys. How many of you guys have actually seen a Western? Anybody? A very few of you. So, some of you have seen like The Magnificent Seven or True Grit or Rooster Cogburn, any of those John Wayne ones, or maybe The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And that classic that we all love so much, Rango. That classic Western. It's good stuff. So in Westerns, one of the things that we always see, it's kind of like a cliche almost, but the guys are out in the street to do the gunfight, right? And they're, one guy's like, Billy Bob. The guy's like, Tommy John. And they face each other down and they draw and they shoot. But there's always that tumbleweed that kind of floats across, right? Like every movie, there's a tumbleweed. That movie, I think it's the same tumbleweed. And that tumbleweed makes a lot of money. He's like, I'll just be in every movie. It's cool. I'll just roll. And, but the tumbleweeds, and you guys, if you lived here in the desert very long and you've seen, gone through a summer, you see tons of tumbleweeds, right? And tumbleweeds are weird things because they somehow are magnetized to each other. Have you noticed that? Like there'll be a tumbleweed and it rolls across the road and then it jumps up against a barbed wire fence where there's like 50 other tumbleweeds and they just like hang out and have a cool little tumbleweed party. But tumbleweeds are interesting things. They just kind of get blown around and they can cause damage though to your vehicle if you run into them. It's kind of cool if you do hit them because they kind of explode. But they can punch a hole in your radiator, and I've been stranded on the side of a highway with a bus full of kids going to summer camp because we ran into a tumbleweed and blew the radiator out on the van, and it was like 100 and some odd degrees and terrible. But yeah, tumbleweeds are interesting things. And the thing about tumbleweeds is the reason they are what they are and that they're these big bushes that kind of blow across everywhere is because they don't have a root system. Like, the root system's really shallow. The rain comes, it's springtime, the weather's nice, and these, like, little green bushes just kind of come up, and they grow up, and they grow up fast, and they grow up big. But because they don't have a deep root system, as soon as the topsoil dries up, they dry up and die too. And then when the wind comes, they get pulled out and blown across the highway and damage your vehicle. And that's just how tumbleweeds are. And actually, it's interesting, but this... But tumbleweeds, actually, we find them in Scripture. And so I kind of want to talk a little bit about tumbleweeds and about some other stuff tonight. So if you'll, if you have your Bibles, and you would, go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. It's in the Old Testament. Of course, I lost my place now, so I got to hunt it down to you. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Jeremiah chapter 17. I just want to read a couple of verses for you that I think they hit home for me anyway a little while back as I was doing some studying. Jeremiah chapter 17, and look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, Jeremiah chapter 17. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the lands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. So, that scripture is kind of heavy, but if you think about it, it makes sense. The people, a person who trusts in mankind, who trusts in human beings, as messed up, as screwed up, as broken as we are, that guy's like basically a tumbleweed. He's like a bush that grows up in wastelands, and as soon as the water goes, as soon as the least little bit of moisture is gone from the soil, they're picked up and blown around, and they're blown around by every single thing. And if we apply that to our lives, this tumbleweed life that we're going to kind of talk about for a little bit tonight, this tumbleweed life, this wasteland life, it's sort of a life that we actually see promoted a lot. And if we just stop and think about it for a second, we see there's a lot of what we do in society, what our life or what's around us, that's just, it's just shallow. And it doesn't take root. It doesn't take hold. It's just shallow. We see things like shallow morality where, you know, we say, well, if it's right for me, then it's right for me, but you have your own thing. And there's no real depth to it. It's just kind of whoever feels like whatever. And that's a shallow morality. Or shallow relationships where we're just in relationships to kind of get whatever we can get out of the relationship. As long as I'm feeling good about things, as long as I'm, you know, doing whatever and things make sense to me, then it's good. But the minute there's a hardship or the minute there's trouble, I'm out. Or shallow, we're shallow in our service to others. You know, sometimes we just do stuff because we're supposed to do stuff. You know, maybe we don't really care about the poor, but we're supposed to help them, so we do. Or maybe we'll be nice to somebody as long as they're nice back to us. So it's very shallow, very temperamental even. And this kind of attitude just trickles down. It trickles down to everything. It ultimately trickles down to our faith, where we have a shallow faith that's just kind of based on whatever maybe our parents told us, or maybe our faith is based on, you know, the little bit of teaching that we hear between whatever else is going on in our world or what we're thinking about on a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon. But there's no real depth. Because there's no real depth, there's no real life. It seems great for a little bit, but eventually it dries up. And some of you guys may have actually experienced that already in your lives. You know, you guys are high schoolers, so I'm sure some of you have been through times where things seem pretty great and you thought you were headed the right direction, and then one day you wake up and you realize that was a tumbleweed life. That was a life that was in a wasteland, that just there was really no life there. And I think if you asked any of your leaders, you'd probably see the same thing. We've all, those of us who have been around a while, have had periods of our life or times in our life where we thought, we chased after this thing, we dug our roots in, we thought it was worthwhile, everything sprouted and bloomed for a little bit, and things seemed really great. And then the drought came, and everything dried up, and we were lost. We didn't have any kind of root system. We didn't have any kind of grounding, and so we were just blown around by the winds. But so a tumbleweed life, it's a dry life. It's a shallow life. And you know, like a lot of times we try to be good. Like we try to go deeper. We try to change. We try to make adjustments in our lives. We try to be better people. But those changes are often shallow too, you know. We say things like this, and maybe I'm the only one that's ever done this, but we say things like, well, my life's not really going the way I want it to go right now. Things are kind of hard right now. So I'm just going to, if I can just read my Bible for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day, then everything will be better. We say, you know, life's really tough right now. You know, if I could just be a better person somehow, things will just get better. If I could just find that next thing, things will get better. But those changes are shallow. Because you can get into the Word, you can open up the Bible and get into it 5 minutes a day, but if you're not letting it change and affect your life, you're not letting it speak to you, then you're just going through motions. And so we can't just make shallow changes. If we want to be the kind of people that are not tumbleweeds, but that are the other kind of people that we're going to read about in a few minutes, these people that have deep roots, that have a deeply rooted life, we have to be people that are willing to go deep. And so let's look at the next couple of verses in Jeremiah 17. Verse number 7. He goes on after he says that cursed is the man, or the person that trusts in the man, in man. And then he goes on in verse 7, he says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. Man, like if, I don't know about you, but if I think about the contrast between the tumbleweed that just gets blown around by whatever comes, and you know, it's just shaken by circumstances. Or I think about the tree that grows deep roots beside a stream. I want to be the kind of person that's like a tree planted by the stream, who trusts in the Lord, that my confidence is in Him. And when we do that, we become like this tree with deep roots, with a root system that goes deep into the ground, that finds that nourishing water, that gets its nutrients and its life from the stream. And when we're that kind of healthy tree, you notice there's some things that happen. When heat comes, it doesn't worry. It's green. When drought comes, it doesn't worry. It's always bearing fruit. It's healthy. It's strong. Because it's planted by the stream and its roots are deep. A deeply rooted life is a life that's healthy, a life that's strong. And Jesus kind of talks about this a little bit in John chapter 4 when he talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. You guys remember that story? So Jesus is traveling. He goes into Samaria. He's thirsty. He sits down. He starts talking to this woman. And he asks her for a drink of water. And she's like, why are you asking water from me? And he goes through this whole thing. And the thing that hits me in this story is in verse 13, where he basically says, look, I have water that I can give you, that if you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again. And it'll be like a spring welling up within you. And she's like, give me this water. I want to drink it. She's thinking physical drink. I want the drink. And he's speaking on a spiritual term. He's saying, look, I am the one that provides life. I am the one that provides nourishment. I am the one that provides health and safety and security. I am the one that provides peace. And if you'll just dive, if you'll just dive in, if you'll just grow deep roots, if you'll just get down to where that living water is, you'll be nourished, you'll be strengthened. You won't be blown around by every little thing that comes along. And let's be honest, like in high school, there's a lot of winds that come blowing, right? There's a lot of storms. And sometimes what happens is we have new storms every week, every month. There's new, something new comes. It's a new whatever. It's a new tornado and she's got a name and oh, look out. Whatever that is. But there's this, and we get our eyes on that storm. We get our eyes focused on the storm, the wind. And we take our eyes off of the fact that if we'll grow deep roots, we don't have to worry about that. And high school could also be, you know, compared to like a pressure cooker where, man, just like everyone's eyes are on you. You ever felt like that? Like everyone's eyes are on you watching everything you do. That's how I felt all through high school. I feel like that right this second. No, but seriously, I felt like that all through high school. Like people were always watching me. I feel like that sometimes today. It's like a pressure cooker, this heat, and it can wither you down, tear you up. You can be blown around, or you can be nourished and strong as a tree planted by the stream. And I love that picture that Jesus is like a spring of living water. And something that's really cool about springs don't just run out. If you've noticed an underground stream that bubbles up, it doesn't just run out. It's not dependent on the rain or the snowfall. It's just always there, bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And when we dive down, dig deep roots into Christ, He will constantly be welling up, bubbling up within us, which allows us to stand strong and bear fruit, even in the midst of drought and heat and storms. And that's an exciting thing, I think, at least for me it is, because there's lots of stuff that wants to blow everywhere we go. There's lots of stuff in our lives that just takes us and blows us this way and that way. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, actually, He says that I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I love that scripture. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I want a full life. Do you want a full life? I think if we're all honest, we want a life that's full. A life that's full of joy, that's full of love, that's full of peace, that's full of forgiveness, that's full of grace. That's the kind of life that you find when you dig deep roots into Christ. And further on in John chapter 10, why don't we go there? I want to look at a couple things real quick. John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10. I want to look at something else here. I think this is instructive for us. John chapter 10. Look at verse number 7. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." I'll just stop there for a second. He says, all right, listen up. I'm going to tell you the truth. Here it is. Listen very closely. I'm telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Now, the picture here is that shepherds would take their flocks all over the place, and they would seek after green pastures. And all over the landscape, all over the hillsides, you would have these little stone corrals. And then they would have an opening in the front. And so the shepherd at night, when he wanted to rest, but he couldn't watch his sheep, he would get all the sheep inside the corral, and then he would literally lay across the opening of this little stone corral. So he literally became the gate. He became the thing that kept thieves out, that kept robbers out, that kept those who would want to come and damage and steal the sheep or whatever out, and he would become a protector for the sheep. He would keep them safe and keep them from harm. So he says, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." And Jesus goes on to say that he's the good shepherd. He takes care of us. He loves us. He came, he lived a perfect life in our place. He sacrificed himself on the cross for you and for me. And that kind of love and that kind of grace, I think sometimes we almost think of like the gospel is just a story we hear. Like the gospel becomes like, I don't know, Precious Moments dolls. It's this weird kind of like thing that we just, you know, it just becomes cute. It's like a Bible story or those pictures we used to see where Jesus was like painted and he was sitting on the side of a mountain and there were like kids around him. And we think of Jesus in that sense. But he's so much more than that. He's so much more than just a cute little thing that we hear and say. He's the good shepherd. He's the gate. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the perfect Son of God who came to live a perfect life in your place, the life you couldn't live, gave himself on a cross, and rose again on the third day just to stick it to death in the grave. And he reigns in heaven today, and he's waiting for us. And we can live lives that are just dried up, tossed around, wind up against some fence somewhere with all our buddies hanging out like the tumbleweeds. Or we can live a life that's deeply rooted. A life that seeks after the living water. Because a tree that's planted by the stream will have almost all of its roots will go to the side where the water is. The living water that can be welling up within us, giving life, giving joy. Jesus says, once again, that I've come that you might have life, and not just life that you might live, but life to the full, life that's overflowing. And that's the kind of life that he's offered for us. And I guess I kind of want to ask you a question a little bit, and I try on Tuesday nights to sort of end with a question. And usually it's something like, so what kind of life are you living? Are you living a life that's like a tumbleweed life that just gets blown around? All the drama, all the junk that comes out from high school is just kind of like taking over your life and just, you know, just blows you around and you just don't know what's going on anymore. Or are you living a life that's deeply rooted in Christ, deeply rooted in your community, deeply rooted in your church, deeply rooted in your friendships, deeply rooted with your family, deeply rooted in such a way that when stuff comes, you don't just change and blow with it, but instead, you stand firm. You're like a tree planted by the water. It doesn't matter if there's heat or drought, you're okay. And if you were living a life, if I was living a life, because honestly, like, I don't have this all figured out. You can ask my kids, you know them. I don't have it all figured out. If we were living lives that were truly, deeply, deeply rooted in Christ, we are living the kind of life that always bears fruit. How would that change things for you? What would your school look like? What would your friendships look like? What would your relationship with your family look like? What would dating look like? What would church look like? Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, what would it look like if you were truly seeking the living water? If you were truly seeking a life that is always green and always bears fruit, that's healthy and strong, how would that change things? I know for me, I'd probably change quite a bit. And as I continue to seek, I continue to try to draw close to the Lord, and I continue to try to have my root system be deep and strong, it's going to begin to change things. So some of you guys are going to graduate, and you're going to have an opportunity to go off to school. And if you want to, I hope that's where you go. But in a sense, when you get away to school, to college someplace, it's just like starting over. Then you can either be a tumbleweed on campus, just going wherever, doing whatever, party scene, hit it up, the whole thing. Or you can immediately begin to grow deep roots so that you can be nourished. You can find a church. You can find a ministry. You can find fellow believers. And you can do that at your school right now. You can keep doing what you're doing. And if you're honest, you're not all that happy doing what you're doing. Or you can stop doing the same thing. And you can begin to develop a root system that is strong. And you can begin to do that right here. A lot of you guys go to the same school. I wonder how many times you actually talk to each other. I wonder how many times you encourage each other. I wonder how many times you hand each other a beer. Or pass the joint or whatever it is. See, because when I was in high school, I grew up with this dude named Eric. I grew up, Eric and I were friends from second grade all the way to my freshman year in college. Eric and I knew each other from church. So we went to the same church, grew up together, but we lived on opposite sides of town, and so we didn't go to school together. When I was in high school, I started hanging out with some guys, started partying, started doing stupid stuff. And Eric always wanted to hang out. But I didn't like hanging out with him and his friends because, honestly, at the time I thought they were kind of nerdy. Even though me and Eric had been friends forever and he was like on the cool side of nerdy. Everybody else, you know, his other friends were just not cool enough for me because I was pretty dope back then. Still am pretty dope, actually, but anyway. No, but here's the thing. So I started hanging out with dudes, started partying, doing stuff. Eric's like, hey, come hang out. I'm like, nah. Why don't you come over, hang out with us? Because we're cool and you're kind of borderline. I didn't say that to him, but. And he was literally like one of my best friends. But so Eric starts hanging out with me and my friends, starts doing the stuff we're doing. Freshman year in college, Eric ends up at the same school that I do. We're still doing stupid stuff. And then Eric goes on to live a life that basically is marked by drunkenness and addiction for a long, long time. And I was supposed to be a guy that should have been going, hey, bro, we don't need this party scene, man. Let's just hang out. I mean, like, we're both brothers in Christ. We grew up together. We ought to encourage each other, lift each other up. I ought to have been doing that kind of thing, but instead I was sucking him in to all my junk. And I look back on that now, and I've been trying to get a hold of Eric probably for the last 10 years, and he won't have anything to do with me. I Facebook his wife. I talk to his mom. My dad and his dad are good friends. He won't talk to me. And I don't know for sure because I haven't been able to talk to him, but I imagine that he's had this whole life of being just a tumbleweed, just bouncing around from place to place. And I was the dude that planted him in the desert. And meanwhile, after I plant him in the desert, I go over here by the stream and begin to grow this deep root system into Christ. And I look back on that, and I regret that. I regret the fact that I didn't have the guts to stand up to my friends. I didn't have the guts to walk away from that. That I didn't have the guts to actually live the faith that I had. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you can, any possible way, if there's any possible way in your life right now that you can just do enough self-evaluation and honesty to say, you know what, I don't need a tumbleweed life. I want a life that's deeply rooted. I want to be deeply rooted, and I'm going to start living that way right now. And as you draw near to Christ, he will draw near to you. And it won't matter if there's heat or drought. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be all right. You're going to be strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity to get up and talk tonight. Lord, I know it was kind of a little bit of a heavy message, Lord, and I thank you for the attentiveness of these students, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to be the kind of people that are deeply rooted in you, deeply rooted in our walk with you, Lord God, that we might be the kind of people that are changing the world around us. It's easy for us sometimes to say, hey, I'm going to change the world, and we go across the world to some other country, and we do some justice in your name, and but we're unwilling to take that same kind of stand at home with our friends and with our family or with our relationships, God. And I just pray that we can be the kind of people that do that. I pray that we can be the kind of people that will be willing to stand up as a generation of believers that love you, that are growing deep roots into you, that are living and looking for that living water that you provide, God. And I just pray that we'll begin to change that our own lives would change because of your word, but also that our schools and our relationships and our friendships would change and our churches would change because we've been willing to do that. God, we love you and thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.